I'm going to read the entire one, and you guys all just read it. Wow, that was a big one. You guys all just read it with Mr. Dewberry, and I'm going to read it too, and then I'm going to kind of break it down into chunks, verse by verse. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a very famous portion of Scripture. Oftentimes it's read if you happen to attend a memorial service or a funeral service for a person that's passed away. It's a comforting Scripture. And let's take a look at it tonight. What is a shepherd? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd, Jordan? Yes, he takes care of the sheep, okay? He takes care of the sheep. What things might a shepherd do for the sheep? What things might a good shepherd do for the sheep? Roman? Or Levi? Sorry, got your name wrong. Levi? He stays with them, okay? Roman? Huh? He'll kill a lion if he has to. Hopefully that's not part of the everyday job. Andrew? He leads them to good water, okay.
He saves their wool.
He saves their wool, yeah. That's part of the shepherd's job, I suppose. Yeah, Ian? He feeds them. He might take them to pastures where the feeding is plentiful. Okay, one more, Roman. Yeah, he kind of keeps them corralled, right? He doesn't let them wander away. Okay. The next part of that verse says, I shall not want. What does that mean? It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. What does want mean in this context, in this verse? Mr. Hughes? Do you know? It says, I shall not want. No, that's not the case here. It's not want as in I want to do that or I want to do that or I want to do this. Anyone else have a quick guess? Roman? If it says I'm not wanting for anything, what does that mean? Not wanting for anything. Huh? Excellent. The psalmist, and by the way, David wrote this psalm. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and we already talked about things that shepherds do, right? He takes care of the sheep. He leads the sheep to water or to food. He helps gather the sheep if they're lost and off the path. Okay? Who's the sheep in this kind of equation, this illustration? Who's the sheep? Okay? If the Lord is the shepherd, who's the sheep? Isaac? Yes, all of us, okay? All of us. So, Mr. Greg, I'm not a sheep. Well, we do sheep-like things sometimes. We make bad choices. We get lost. We do silly things, and we need to be corralled. We need to be cared for. We need to be loved and provided for, okay? So when it says, I shall not want, that means I'm depending on God for all my needs, okay? Okay? I notice we're all wearing shoes today, right? Nobody's barefooted right now, right? No, keep your shoes on, thanks. And we all have some clothing on, thankfully. We all have shoes and clothing. See, Mr. Greg, you're being silly. What does that mean? Well, that's things to be thankful to God for, okay? God's provided that for you, okay? Being the good shepherd, okay? In John chapter 10, verse 11, and also in verse 14, somebody in the New Testament says about himself, I am the good shepherd. Who was that in John chapter 10? I understand we're not studying John this school year. But who in the New Testament said to him about himself, I am the good shepherd? Who was that talking? Who said that? Andrew? Excellent. Jesus. Okay. Following on this same illustration, this same picture, these word pictures about shepherd, Jesus says about himself, I'm the good shepherd. Okay, so Jesus does the same things for his followers, for his flock, as the shepherd does for sheep. Okay, so shepherd provides for his sheep, he guides them, he protects them. Okay, and if you apply that to we people being the sheep, it's both a physical blessing and a spiritual blessing. Okay, I said God provides for our shoes. He provides for our clothing. Okay, did anybody have lunch or supper today? One or both? Did anybody miss lunch and supper? Did anybody? You did? Were you feeling sick? You just didn't have no lunch or no supper? Really? Did you have breakfast?
No.
Well, there you go. One out of three ain't bad. Well, what's your point, Mr. Greg? Well, my point is God provided the meal you had today, whether it was one, two, or three of them. God provides your food. God provides your clothing. God provides a place for you to stay. Did anybody get rained on today all day, or did you go inside under a building when the rain came? Did anybody stand out in the rain the whole time it rained?
Yes.
The whole time it rained? I think you're full of baloney there. You came inside. You're at school. You had to be inside part of the time. So what's your point, Mr. Greg? Well, God provides those things. Food, clothing, shelter, physical things. Okay, but he also provides spiritual things. Okay, the relationship we have with God can give us peace and comfort. Okay, even in our daily lives, as we're walking to school, okay, or coming home from school and doing maybe some chores, or maybe doing some things our mom and dad or grandma and grandpa ask us to do. Okay, if our relationship with God is where it should be, we have blessing there. Okay. That's a good feeling inside. Like when you do something for somebody to help others, there's that good feeling inside. And God's with you all along that way, blessing you physically and blessing you spiritually. And one of the most important spiritual blessings is Christ, okay? What Christ did for us on the cross. If you trust Christ, the spiritual blessing that you'll be getting is you'll be able to go to heaven and you'll have that relationship with God fixed. That was broken by sin. Let's continue reading, though. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Okay? A place of physical rest and spiritual rest. Okay? Anybody ever get thirsty? Yeah. For some reason, when I always teach, summer says, still here. It's still warm. It's always warm when Mr. Greg teaches. Woo. So what happens? You get thirsty. You need some water. Okay? But you also need spiritual water, spiritual rest, okay? A good way to start your day and a good way to end your day is in prayer, okay? And that'll help you have a good night's sleep, and it'll help you have a good day when you start your day, okay? God's blessings are not just physical, like food we eat or water we drink, but it's also spiritual, okay? So verse 2 talks about some of those blessings, the pastures, the waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, restores my soul. My study Bible says, the restoration of the soul indicates a returning of life or vitality. God gives us the energy. God gives us the ability, and he gives us the motivation to do the things we ought to do. Restores us. Okay. And he leads us in the path of righteousness. What's righteousness? Well, that's when you're living your life according to the Ten Commandments. That's when you're living your life according to the pattern of what Christ did when he was here on earth. Okay? You're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. You're loving others as you love yourself. Okay? God demonstrates his love and his care for us, which gives evidence, especially to non-believers, to those who aren't Christians, those who may not even believe God exists. Okay, but they see the peace you have in this troublesome world, and they say, what is different about this person? Well, that person has the love of God. And that might be attractive or at least interesting and peculiar to a person who's seeing how you behave. Okay, but it all gives evidence that God is just as the Bible describes him. He provides for us. He loves us like the shepherd loves the sheep. Okay, and who's the one that said he is the good shepherd in the New Testament? Who's the one that compared himself to the good shepherd and said, I am the good shepherd? Jesus said that, okay? Let's look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay? There's no need to have fear. There's no need to say, oh, I'm afraid to face the day, or I'm afraid to face this task, or this trip, or this journey. Okay? Have you ever been afraid of the dark? Okay? Okay? Well, if it's available, turn a light on. But I understand sometimes the light's not available. But you can have faith that God's going to see you through that situation. Okay? Whether you're traveling or whether you're just in your basement looking for something. But God's with you, girls and boys. God's always with you. Okay? We don't have to be afraid of the dark. God protects us. We can have faith and trust in him to not worry, to not be afraid. Okay? Not be afraid of our physical fears and physical enemies, nor our spiritual enemies. Okay? The devil's out to wreck your life. The devil's out to lie to you. The devil's going to make you think that good things are bad and bad things are good. He's going to try his best to convince you of that. Okay? But if your relationship with God is a daily walk through Bible reading and prayer, okay, you can resist that, those lies, and you can have no fear for your spiritual enemies or your physical enemies. Okay? Verse 5. You prepare a table for me. Before me, in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Anybody ever been to like a birthday party, or maybe you had a big meal at your house for Thanksgiving? I think this is kind of what the Bible's talking about here. Okay, God pours out his blessings on us. And by the way, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Why is it called Thanksgiving? What are we supposed to feel during Thanksgiving? Isaac? Thankfulness! Thankfulness, okay? Is that something that resonates with you guys? Is thankfulness at the top of your attitude most of the day? Because it surely ought to be. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. Okay? And our country celebrates Thanksgiving. This year, I think it's on the 23rd. It's the day after Jack's birthday. Okay? So we're going to sit down, and a lot of us have turkey or ham and mashed potatoes. And we say, thank you. But who are we thanking? Excellent! You blurted it out and you didn't even raise your hand, but I'm not even upset about it. Yes, we're to thank God, okay? Because a lot of folks in this country, they say, yes, let's have Thanksgiving and be thankful. Well, who in the world are you thankful to? Who are you thankful towards? We ought to be thankful to God, because all these blessings that we're being thankful for came directly from God, whether they're spiritual or physical blessings. Okay? That turkey and mashed taters on your plate, provided by God. Say, Mr. Greg, my daddy went to work and made money, and he got that turkey. Who gave your daddy that job? Okay? Who gave your daddy the strength to do the job he does? Okay? Those are all blessings from God, girls and boys. Okay? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy here is like God's loving kindness. God loves us, okay? And if you're a Christian, you feel that and you know that, okay? You feel God's love. You feel the Holy Spirit guiding you and directing you. And that's a daily thing for Christians, okay? And that's going to follow you all the days of your life. And even on your worst, rottenest day, you're like, ugh, things aren't going good today. If you're a Christian, you can say, it's okay, I'm on my way to heaven. I've trusted Christ. How sad and mad and upset can I be? Or if something happens and you lose a loved one, maybe somebody dies in your life that you love very much. You can say, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you. You don't have to be so sad. Okay? So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And lastly, it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What do you think that's talking about? I think that's talking about heaven, girls and boys. Okay? Okay? When our time's up, and we don't know how long we got, and I know I shouldn't talk to youngsters about death, but it's going to happen someday for all of us, unless the Lord comes back. Okay? And then we'll get to enjoy God's presence forever and ever. It says, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay? If you're a Christian today, you've already won the victory. Well, Christ has won it for you. Okay? But you get the blessings and the wonderful benefits of that broken relationship getting fixed. Okay? But it's only through Christ, girls and boys. Okay? That's the thing that you really need to understand. The psalmist here is mentioning blessings, okay? And we've dwelled upon those blessings and those comforts in times that are difficult. But there is wrath and there is judgment, too, that goes along with this word of God here. Okay? For those who reject Christ, you don't get those wonderful blessings. You don't get that cup overflowing. You don't get that goodness and mercy following all the days of your life. And you surely don't get that dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Okay? So my earnest, sincere plea to you is, if you understand that you're a sinner and you've broken God's law and that you need a Savior, I invite you to trust Jesus genuinely and sincerely. Trust that He died on the cross and paid for your sins. He was buried and He rose again. And if you'll do that, you'll be a Christian. You'll be saved. You'll be on your way to heaven. And then you can get busy serving God. Okay? Everybody understand those things? I know some of you are a little young maybe to understand those things. And if you have questions, come and ask. Come and ask an adult. Ask me. If you don't like me, ask Mr. Heil. Ask Mr. Dewberry. Ask your teacher. Ask anybody. Okay? Ask Pastor Pittman. Okay? Yeah, ask her. That's a great person to ask. Okay? But we here at this church, we love you. That's why we tell you about Christ. That's why we tell you about Jesus. That's why we teach you from the Word of God. We want you to hear the gospel message and be saved and go to heaven. Okay? That's our earnest, sincere hope for all of you girls and boys. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about today's lesson? Okay, let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed, okay? Yes, dear. Jesus is God the Son, yes. And there's God the Father and there's God the Holy Spirit. And that's a hard one for us to understand. Three persons, but one God. Well, that's probably the right reaction. What? even your teacher doesn't quite understand that one. But we know it to be true because the Bible says it is. Okay? Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we can be dismissed and go to our verse time. Okay? Thank you for coming tonight. If you see some guys in the neighborhood, invite them to come next time who weren't here tonight. Come to Sunday morning church. Everybody know what time Sunday morning church is? 9:30, Sunday school. Be here. Okay? Be here. All right? And then children's church is at 10:30 and then we're all dismissed about 11:30. And if you need a ride, call the church or come and ask me or Mr. Dewberry. We'll try to figure it out. We can get you here in a safe ride so you don't have to walk in the rain. Okay? There ain't going to be no rain this week, though. All right, let's have a quick word of prayer. Excellent. Thank you for your attendance and your attention. Heavenly Father, Lord, please bless these boys and girls. Thank you for this lesson that we've stumbled through here in Psalm 23. Lord, please let it be a blessing to each boy and girl. Please bless them and their families. Lord, please save souls and add to our church. Lord, please bless the teen ministries upstairs. Thank you for Christ who died on the cross and was buried and rose from the grave. Lord, please help us to live for you and serve you and be obedient to you. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.